Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast presents Action Movie December. We, as tradition, are closing out our final episode of the year and of Action Movie December with our good buddy, Michael. As always, we started with the Die Hard series, moved through Lethal Weapon, and are now on John Wick 2. Thank you for joining me on the Experience Grind podcast, the podcast where we reevaluate our lives through the monochromatic filter of nostalgia and games, movies, and medias we've experienced along the way. This is a very long intro. We're talking about John Wick 2 today, starring the great Chukwudi Awuji.
I was wondering if that was ever going to be mentioned on this episode once. I couldn't figure out why we were trying to figure that
out. Guy steals the show, carries the film. I'm not talking about anybody
else.
For
a whole 7 seconds.
I don't know about y'all. This is, as far as I'm concerned, the Chukwudi Awuji podcast.
We did make a pretty big deal about figuring out how to pronounce his name before we started.
Speaking of him, I'm also joined in the studio by the number one assassin, Mr. Sean.
I got a Woody for Chukwudi. Let's go, boys.
Next up, the number one assassin in Italy, my good buddy Ryan.
Thanks for chucking that Woody over this way. I'm doing great. I don't think you asked, but I'm doing great.
Awesome. I didn't ask, but you know what? I wished I would have, and now I'm happy to know. Next up is, what I would refer to as the wine taster or the sommelier, my good buddy Michael.
I'm a weird one to designate as the sommelier, but all right.
Yeah, you look like Peter Serafinowicz. So
I mean, I'll take it. Shit. But I was kind of feeling woozy for a woozy, but you know,
I'll take it. Of course, last but not least, the man is anything but common. My Cassian, Mr. Brian.
Oh, I see what you did with the common and the yeah. Well, I like to think of myself as the high evolutionary of this podcast. High evolutionary in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, of course, portrayed by Chukwudi Awuji.
The famed.
Infamous and famous Chukwudi Awuji. Guys, yeah, we're talking about John Wick number 2. I'm going to give us a briefest of synopsis, and then we're going to go through our patented rating system dubbed the Kick-Ass-O-Meter, yeah, which has categories ranging from action quality all the way through story. We'll probably talk about butts in between there at some point. But before we get into that, John Wick 2 is the continuation of the adventures of Mr. John Wick, wanting to get his car back. He tracks it down to the brother of the villain from the first movie,
Peter Stormare.
The fantastic Mr. Peter MF and Stormare, who is, of course, very nervous and concerned when John Wick gets through all of his men, but happily accepts the peace deal John Wick offers him, which you would be a madman to not accept that, I have to say. John Wick takes his car. It's beat the hell up after getting it back from his men. Calls up his good buddy, Aurelia, played by the great John M.F. and Leguizamo, who, you know, gives him the rundown of what it's going to take. And then a ghost from Christmas Past shows up, Santino D'Antonia, the guy who helped John complete his impossible task to get out of the assassin game. And the first one comes calling with his mark. A mark is, I guess, through these ever-expanding rule sets, are the only two things that cannot be refused. That and performing business on hotel property. He wants him to take out his older sister, Gianna D'Antonia, who is now the new head at the seat of 12 of this conglomerate of worldwide criminals. There's 12 of them that run everything. She's the new one. He wants to be her. So he hires John Wick to kill her, which, of course, he does. And then we're led on many rampscallion, rapacious, rambunctious chases around different locales where people get shot in the face, groin, chest, and stomach area. And
face again.
Face again. And everything concludes back where it all started at the hotel in New York. How does it end? Well, we'll probably talk about it in our kick-ass rating system that we're going to get into right now. Ryan has a lot of questions.
So many.
Always. That front-end synopsis was real heavy, and I had to bang through it.
No notes.
Okay. All off the top.
Solid 6 out of 10.
Hey, all right. Yeah. You know what?
If you want to understand that, go over to Patreon, patreon.com/experiencegrind, where for as little as $17,000, you can hear why we just made a 6 out of 10 reference this Friday.
It's a pretty good reference.
It's good. If I remember. Anyways, I do have a question, though. I remember last time, Brian, I don't think you were on last time.
No, I missed the John Wick episode.
Had you seen, have you seen John Wick 1, John Wick 2?
Like so many times, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I rewatched it for the episode that Dave and I did without you guys when you were all traveling that 1 week.
Oh, word.
Despite it turning into a dead dog bracket, we did actually watch John Wick beforehand.
Let's go.
Michael hadn't seen John Wick 1 from what I remember. Had you seen John Wick 2 prior to this one? Like, did you watch it back after the first one?
I think he's trying to go fresh every time.
I'm trying to go fresh every time. I just watched this for the first time Sunday. So yeah, cool. It is brand new, sparkling.
And you've watched it three times since?
Yeah, exactly. It's actually, can we wrap this up? I want to go finish it right now.
You're paused right now?
How'd you pull yourself away halfway through it, man? Cool. I just want to check that, Cal.
All right. It is wild. Throwaway joke there, but it is wild. I thought how well this one sucks you in, which we will talk about right now. Because we have categories, gentlemen, to make this discussion somewhat organized. The Kick-Assometer has different categories. The first category is the action quality. This has a top score out of 5. And I want our good buddy Michael to kick it off.
All right, putting me on the spot. I'm going to go 4 out of 5 to start off the action meter. It's completely action-packed. There is very little downtime in the movie, and the action, when it does happen, is quite good. I thought there were... The reason I docked 1 point is because I did think it'd get a little bit stale at points in terms of what action is displayed. Like, I think I saw the move of him like grabbing someone behind the back and flipping over on the ground like 20 times in the movie. I was like, okay, I get it. That's a move that you do. That's good. But it was all well choreographed, just like the first movie. It was quick. There were points where I go, oh, that was cool. I wouldn't think to do that. And then, like Brian alluded to earlier, it avoids the trope of just knocking a guy out and leaving him. He actually does the hitman thing and boom, shoots him twice in the head, make sure they're dead. So the car chase scene at the beginning was quite good. I thought that had a different feel to it, and it like really just sucked you in right away, like you mentioned, Kyle. So I'll give it high marks, but not a perfect 5 because of sort of the, I got a little not bored, I guess, but like, okay, I get it with the hand to hand at a certain point.
Okay. Nice. And Mike, we didn't know this before now, but as tradition, you select who you'd like to kick.
Yeah,
into
next. I didn't know if anyone wanted to follow. So I'll pass it to Ryan. What do you think, Ryan?
I think you nailed it perfectly, and I especially appreciate you pointing out the stale stuff. I think coming off of John Wick 1, I think there's an escalation needed, and you kind of see this in a lot of movies. And I think it's there for the most part, though I do think there are definitely some moments that don't quite land as like really as notable or memorable. I think in addition to a lot of the repeated moves, like the whole catacombs set piece, there's like a long stretch where he's just shooting people from a distance. And like after one or two times, like, it starts to get like, okay, and then what? Like, the first one, it's about that gunplay at close combat. It's like that CCEQ mixed with the gunplay at close range. That's fascinating. That's super interesting. Doing it from a long distance, a lot less when we've seen kind of what he is doing, really, in a lot of the rest of this movie and in the first movie. So I kind of agree. I think it's still really good compared to just your average action movie. Anything else that was coming out in 2017, this is still pretty high marks. But there is a bit of repetition here with it. And I don't think they escalated quite enough. And I also say this having a bit of the future knowledge and knowing how they ramp up in 3 and then they ramp up in 4. And for this one, I just don't think it's enough of a ramp up. I think there's a lot of clever stuff. I'm not going to talk about anything else since I talked about the catacombs, and I'll let other people talk about specific scenes. But I'm right with Michael. This is a 4. And then I would like to hear Brian's take on this.
I think you're both pretty accurate on this. There is a repetitive nature, and I think it is due to the natural escalation you have to do when you do an action movie sequel. And if you're going for body count, there's only so many ways you can kill people. And it seems like that was their goal. Was the way we're going to outdo John Wick is we're just going to up body count and we're going to have him kill so many fucking people. But there's only so many ways you could do that with jujitsu and judo and firearms and running people over. So yeah, it does get a little stale and repetitive, but not enough for me to be never. I was always entertained the whole way through. So I don't want to hold the future against it because I do know, I agree the way it escalates, and I don't want to go too far into it because I know Michael hasn't seen them. But yeah, I think I'm going to give it a 4.5 because I think we're doing awesome new stuff, really grounded action that you don't see a lot in this time frame. So I think 4.5 for me, and I would like to hear from Sean.
You know, I really wish that we don't go into this referencing any other movies at all in series, because I want to go back to the first one where everybody dinged it points because the other John Wicks are better. And I feel like people need to go back and give that episode an apology, because this is getting a 4 from me. And not because of what you guys are talking about. A lot of the action I enjoyed. I enjoyed seeing him with a gun on his side, but choosing to fight instead until he had to use the gun. That was very entertaining. My problem with this is how fantastical the action gets. The first movie is not like it's crazy. There's some outrageous stuff happening. But in this movie, we watch him get smoked by a car like 9 times in the first 10 minutes. And nothing. He's fine. And then 40 minutes into it, he gets shot in his bulletproof suit. And that's what makes him start like he can't get up. And he starts stumbling around just to get hit by another car about 5 minutes later. In what I said to Sarah when she was like, ooh, I was like, that's the least bad of the last 9 times he's gotten hit by a car. Like, the first movie, he wasn't Superman. He wasn't some Terminator. He was just an outstanding, super highly, like, God-tier skilled assassin. This movie, he could get shot in the face point blank, and I would be fully, like, I would expect him to get up, walk up. It was a bit absurd.
It's the, like, John McClane effect.
Oh, my God.
Every movie, like, he gets a little more invincible.
This was not nearly as good as in the first movie. There's a lot more of it, but not nearly as good for me. It's getting a 4. I think that leaves Kyle.
You talk about putting respect on John Wick number 1's name. I happen to have my rating from last year right here. I would note I gave the action quality a 5 last year.
So that was me and you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gave it a 4.5 because the future, the same. I know where.
So
it
I'm
goes.
Also not comparing so it to
same
anything
inconsistent in my rating this year.
John Wick 1. But with that, I mean, I think I disagree. I mean, I agree with all of you, but I agree with you in even a more hardcore way. I fucking love the action in this movie, fellas. I think it's perfect for me. This is a full five. I don't find it boring. I like everything that it brings to the table. Even the absurdity and fantastical elements, such as when John Wick and Common are walking through a very crowded public area and taking pot shots at each other with the most silenced pistols ever, and nobody's flipping out, or the fact that John Wick murders two guys on a subway platform that people then get out of and nobody screams, nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, it's turning the brain
off.
That
bugged me. That really bugged me.
I just laughed and was like, okay, sure. They've got something going on. Whatever. We're moving on. I don't care. Because that's what, it's an action movie. It's, we're getting there. We could talk about those complaints anyways. But yeah, for me, I really love it. I love the catacomb shootout scene once he gets to the robustness of the shotgun when he blasts that dude's leg off and then he like pops him in the face. That shit's good. I will kind of give it to you guys a little bit. By the fourth time that he's crawling around a dude and getting his head around him and then keeping him alive while he shoots two other guys just to shoot that guy finally, it's like, dude, you're not, it's not even a body shield. Like, just kill him and fucking get in a better position. But that said, it is still entertaining as all fuck. I love when he's storming Peter Stormare's warehouse and we're watching it all from Peter Stormare's face. We're not even really seeing what he's doing. We're just hearing it. And we're just like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. And he makes reference to the fucking pencil again.
which fuck does
we do
that?
Get a pencil scene in this movie, an homage to the reference. Kind of wish they hadn't have, because I mean, that's kind of more the mystique of it.
But they shot their load real quick on it. They teased it and immediately were like, hey, remember that like, 20 minutes ago?
In the description of it, he kills three people when they talk about it, and he only killed two people, and I think he used two pencils. But that said, still, it was really cool to see. I don't give a shit. I liked it for its inventiveness, and I think that's the thing I do like. And maybe just the broadening of it. It does get ridiculous, but I kind of like that aspect, how we have all these unique assassins with these different personalities and things they do to blend in. And that, I really like that aspect of this movie, how it really opens that up. And maybe we'll talk about that more going forward, because the next category is antagonist. And I'd like to hear from Brian.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is the only one I couldn't decide on a score on.
I kicked it to you.
Yeah. I'll work through it. I'll work through it right now. Santino is such a little bitch.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel menacing. He has the means to make life difficult for John Wick. That's all he has, really. He's not threatening physically or even, we don't know anything about his skill set. We just know that he has money and he can put out a hit for $7 million against John Wick and then a bunch of people will make his life miserable. I think Common is actually the best villain of this whole movie.
Better than Ruby Rose.
Yeah. So like I would say if we're counting Common and Ruby Rose and Santino and the entire network of assassins that try to make that $7 million, I would go with a 3. But if we're just going Santino, I would only go with a 2.
So where's your heart? Where's your heart lead you?
Yeah. I think it's your interpretation.
My it's heart leads me to the 3 because I like this movie, damn it.
Okay.
So it's going to be a 3 for the antagonists as a whole, and I'm going to kick it over to Michael.
I very much agree with everything you said, and I think I will go a 3 as well, because I'm going to go the collaboration of assassins and villains as a whole as the antagonist, as opposed to just, I already forget the name, because he's so forgettable.
Santino,
yeah. Just especially after what we got in the first movie, how it was like really personal between him and John, and because like they had that history and he was so familiar with, I guess we do have the history with this guy with the whole marker that gets introduced, but like it's not really menacing in any way, it's not imposing in any way. The beef between him and Common was really, really fun. The action scenes we got between them, like Kyle mentioned with the stupid pot shots, was really funny. And yeah, Ruby Rose, not great, but I did think the action we got with her was pretty good too. And how she was kind of always there menacing in the background is kind of like that other Phantom antagonist. That was a cool little wrinkle, I thought. And how John would talk back to her in sign language, which was kind of neat. So yeah, overall, not as good as one, but still a solid cast of foils to John. And then I'll send it to Sean.
Man, I'm so torn on this. And again, for other reasons, but I think I'll push off a lot of those thoughts onto another category that's going to be coming up. I'll just say that the threat in the other assassins is more believable than in most other movies, most other action movies. The threat to the main character seems more palpable and more believable, and that something terrible can happen at any second. Just the sheer number of people ready and wanting to kill him once a contract goes out is insane. But with that being said, with Santino really being the figurehead of that, I think there's something to be said for a smarmy chicken shit heel that can, that has position and power and money to make these things happen. I'm going to go a 2.5. And Ryan, if you haven't gone already.
I have not. So I will take, I will echo what you just said. I love the tease about the world of assassins and kind of like the threat that that imposes and will impose going forward. It's a really nice ramp up at the end of this movie. But when I'm talking antagonists, I think it's all within Santino, Common, and Ruby Rose. I'm going to be in the minority here. I really did not like Common at all. I did not find him very affecting. I thought he was very flat. I don't think he added much. I thought Ruby Rose was equally flat as an actress, but at least like the sign language was interesting as a choice, I guess. It's a choice, as opposed to Common, who just did monotone voice real low at John Wick right back. And that's it. That was it. And like, that's fine, I guess. He's got a certain look and physique that works as an assassin. But what did he bring that like literally any other like stacked man couldn't bring? Nothing. I don't think there's anything to his character. I don't think there's anything to Ruby Rose's character. Agreed completely with Sean. I think there's a great place for this kind of specific character. But even then, I think the choices he makes are stupid as fuck. The way he immediately hops blowing up John Wick's house and then to backstabbing John and trying to kill him in the catacombs and all this shit. They're just dumb fucking choices that make no sense for somebody who is like really scheming and like planning this big master plan. Like, it's, if you're going to set up this person, they have to be Machiavellian, and like somewhere like their ego or something plays a point in their downfall. And that doesn't happen. He just makes a bunch of dumb fucking decisions from the get-go, and you're never ever shown any kind of scheming or plotting or intelligence. I don't think he's very good. I also think he is, as somebody said, a little whiny bitch or something similar to that. I also just found him annoying. He is my least favorite of the mains in all the John Wicks. I really don't love the antagonist here. I promise I'm gonna be positive in the rest of the categories. This one is not for me though. This is a one. And that's mostly for Peter Stormare, who gets unceremoniously escorted off screen.
So good.
Can you drop me like to a you two, said, Ryan?
Ryan. Oh, Sean wants to be dropped to a two. To me, there are three antagonists in this movie. It's Santino, D'Antonio, Ares, and Cassian. Basing it on that, I will give this score a 2.5 and let you determine how I came to that.
Can I just, like, what sense did it make to make Ares? You've got Ruby Rose there. It would be such a better choice for her to actually speak.
I like the sign language aspect of it, too. And maybe it's because I don't know. So I think this is one of Ruby Rose's better roles and performances, all things considered, which...
It's throwaway. I agree.
A lot about Ruby Rose. It's but so throwaway. I find her... I enjoy her. And
she's
got
a great voice for that role.
I think it's a good enough twist. And I do like it that it shows more about John's character because he also knows sign language. And I also
like every language because he's Superman.
It shows that he doesn't respect her in the same way that he does Cassian. Because it's also great. She has a purpose for all of these things, but
I almost feel like it would have been a better choice for both characters if Cassian was the one doing the sign language.
Mm-hmm. Probably,
yeah,
possibly. Yeah. He's very stiff, but he's also not an actor. So watch Ruby Rose.
He's the only one in this movie who has an Oscar.
He can move his fucking fingers. It's not hard.
He would probably deliver the lines with a little bit more enthusiasm if he used his hands.
Next category is body count. Body count, and I didn't say it. I'll try to give the score breakdowns each category. This one is in a total out of 3, I believe, right? 3? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, correct. Body count. Let me kick this one off myself, because I think it's fairly easy. Again, only comparing to the first movie, John Wick has 77 kills. John Wick 2 has 128 kills. To me, this is a no-brainer, easy guaranteed, 3 points. And I want to kick it to Sean.
Not even comparing it to other movies. Like, I'm just going off of a feeling here. Like, this is, unlike previous movies that we've been doing where, what was that last one? What did we do last week? Street Fighter?
Yeah.
There was like 40 deaths in that, and I can't tell you more somehow? Than one?
Yeah.
Like, weird. Like, this isn't like that. Until you said that, I know it was anywhere between 60 and 400 that died. Anywhere in between. If you said that, I believe it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is I remember at least 40 of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's awesome. And I can specifically name right now, like 20. Just
he
rapid
flips
fire.
A guy over his head and then shoots two other guys and then shoots the guy he flipped.
And now that, do that he does four that, times.
Yeah, exactly. There's 12 exactly. kills
and
right
then
there.
Two guys with the pencil. Boom. Got there.
A fucking pencil.
But, and also that dude that he whiplashed with the car and shot into a fucking pole. That dude, if that dude is not dead, he's eating out of a tube. Easy 3 for me. Like, I don't, like, easy 3. Like, there could have been 100 less kills and it's still a 3. Michael.
Yeah, no brainer. Like, I think out of all the ones I've done with you guys, this is the easiest 3 out of all of them. Like, it was so, as I was watching it, and like what Ryan alluded to this earlier with the catacomb scene, was like all these random dudes just popping out of nowhere and he's just shooting them. I was like, how the fuck did they hire all these guys to come get them? Like, and they're all just dead after 2 milliseconds of screen time. But yeah, any anonymous henchman that gets one iota of screen time is immediately killed. And I think that's very efficient for your hitman prowess. So yeah, you get a 3 for me, John. Well done. What do you think, Brian?
There's 65 kills in the catacombs alone. I mean, that's more than the last 3 movies we've watched combined. So if any movie was ever going to get a bonus point for body
really
count, it would probably be this one. But that said, I'm going to reserve that bonus point usage for our guest, and I'm just going to give this a 3 and kick it to Ryan.
I'm long-winded in a lot of these categories, so I won't be here. This is a 3. I completely agree. Everyone, you feel it's fantastic.
So then we'll just kick it off to the next category, setting and theme. I think this is a total score of 2.
This is also out of 3.
Ryan? This is also out of three. Be long winded.
Yeah. Man. So, okay. I don't remember what we did for John Wick.
Threes across the board.
Okay, then this is three. This is a three. I'm not going to fucking tease or beat around anything here. It's a three then. I think it really runs with the style that was set up in the first one and just kind of embraces it, I think, much more. I think visually this is a much more compelling movie than the first one. I think diving deeper into the mythology and kind of these places, great, love that. I think it just goes even further. This is great. I'm not going to say in the future. I was going to say in the future, but I keep stop talking about the future. But I just think it builds. If the action didn't build for me, the setting and theme absolutely build. I love the way they expanded the world here. It's all great. Three. Sean.
Man, much like the action, I feel like the setting and theme got a bit fantastical here too. And I'm not going to dock it points. I don't know how I kind of docked it points for it happening in action, but not in setting and theme. But like the setting and theme here is great. I love New York City / Brooklyn and the terrible motorcyclist that can't outspeed a car in New York City. It's insane. I loved Rome and this insane outdoor rave at a ruins that makes no fucking goddamn sense. But they're like,
they did it for real. Did
you guys see the nightclub at a Pope's
rave?
Dear, really?
Not even joking. You could Google that. The Pope threw a rave for some cardinal, and it like looked exactly like the scene.
That is insane to me because watching it looks like the most ridiculous thing ever, but it also looks like the most John Wick thing ever.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel kind of hypocritical for not dinging it, but damn it, I liked it, and it didn't distract and annoy me like the action did. So I'm sticking with a three. And Brian.
Dude, Rome. It's so great what they do with Rome. We've got ruins, ancient bathhouses, catacombs. They're really embracing going international. And the whole in-depth lore dive into the continental in Rome and everything going on in the underground assassin world that we learned so much more about in this movie. And then the underground of that world with Larry Fishburne and the reuniting of our Matrix pals. And it's just like that modern art museum set piece at the end with all those mirrors. I still don't know how they did that because that scene is absolutely bonkers that they didn't catch a single camera on film. Yeah, obviously.
Invisible three. CG.
Yeah.
Some that's exactly what
the camera and the man were green.
They just didn't care because they knew they were going to cut everything out later.
That makes sense. But yeah, three for me, and we'll kick it to Kyle.
Cool. Who's left after me? Michael?
Michael?
Me, yep.
Okay. Also, three out of three, guys. I also gave John Wick 1 3 out of 3, but as everything's... Not only does this have that, it expounds upon it in such delicious ways that open up so many new doors. I love all these different assassins that have these day jobs that they... moonlight in when they're really these assassins. I wish we would have gotten even more of that, but I love just the garbage man, the violin lady who is actually the director's wife, and her is it a professional stunt woman in herself?
Her name is Heidi Moneymaker Rose
in this movie.
Pardon, so Brian?
Her name is Heidi Moneymaker.
Yeah, she definitely do.
Should make that money.
But that aspect is great. I love there's just so many little jokes when he goes to the Roman hotel and the hotel guy's just like, just tell me one thing, are you here for the Pope? John Wick's like, no. And he's like, okay, cool.
Here's the best room.
That was a fucking great little bit. I do love, again, how they make Rome stick out and feel like it is different from New York. It has a different vibe in the way that they're shooting it. Like, we know that it's a different place. I the way that everything still looks slick and cool, not only the museum, the whole subway scene, like, I don't know. It just, like, it looks good. It, like I said, it's crazy how much this movie just captures you. Like, I could have been distracted. There were other things happening when I'm watching it, but, like, I'm just zoned the fuck in because there's just things happening and they're exciting and I want to see more of them. I want to see more of this world. I want it to expand even more, and God, I hope it does in John Wick 3 because I just love what we've gotten. So, fingers crossed, we'll get some cool shit there. But yeah, 3 out of 3. Michael, take us home.
That feels like a tease, but we'll leave that for Action Movie December and July. Yeah, this is a 3 for me as well. I looked back. I also gave John Wick 1 a 3. But like everything you guys said, how we still have this sort of dark, sleek neo-noir theme that's just so sharp and cool, and the bright, almost vaporwave colors at times. And then over in Rome, you have like this classical setting with like the cobblestone road and like the old brick villages and then the big open expanses. It's so good. And then like, yeah, what you were saying, expanding the universe, because like he goes to Rome, it's like, well, what's he going to do there? It's like, oh, yeah, of course there's a continental in Rome. Why wouldn't there be? There's a whole world of this. That makes perfect sense. And like, it's just the rules are consistent and it's so good. Yeah, really, 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 really loved the setting and theme. 3 for me.
The next category is the muscles category. This was briefly kind of alluded to, I think, in our last week's episode. And looking back, I did give this a 0.5 last year. I think a lot of us justified it on muscle memory. And I'm here to say I feel that's bullshit.
Oh, brave man.
Not bringing,
brave man doing it now after the fact.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're completely right, Ryan. It is complete bullshit. This is Ryan's argument, and I'm just making it first. And I'm kicking off this category with a 0. Giving muscles a 0. And I want Ryan to back me up or not back me up.
All right, hold on. I have also opened up our chart of scores here. And so you're going to say, Kyle, of muscles, this has less than Police Story?
I think I do. I don't remember seeing anybody's muscles outside of the next category.
That's a butt, Ryan.
Yeah. No, all right. Loot. I honestly, as I try to think real hard, I'm stalling because I'm trying to think.
In the first movie, we had Kevin Nash, which you could maybe argue because you know he was jacked. But we have no real big guys outside of the sumo guy in this one.
And that's... Yeah, I was on the train of arguing for muscle memory in the first one because I was going to do anything I could to get John Wick points. But maybe I'm feeling less generous because a lot of it was just like, as you said, a lot of the same move over and over again. So he just did, you know, not stretching that muscle memory as much as he could be. So I'm a little disappointed. His muscles
remember so much. They're consistent.
That said, there is still a lot of work going into things. A lot of muscle memory taken in the stunts and learning stunts, and there are so many stuntmen. Mm-hmm. So even if John Wick is getting a little lazy in his kills because he has to kill so many people, there are a lot of like people getting hit by cars and like doing really good falls, very amazing falls, which you do after practicing so many times until it looks good. So I'm not going to be too hard, and again, I want to get John Wick points, but I'm feeling less generous. I think Kyle makes a very good point, too. I'm going to give it a 0.5, which is what I think I did for Police Story. That feels fair.
Cool.
With that, let's hear from somebody who knows nothing about Police Story or doesn't even care about it. Michael.
Yeah, I'm looking back. I gave John Wick 1 a 1, and I don't really remember why I did. Because, like, looking back, it was similar to this movie where it's like the aesthetic part of muscles are not accentuated at all, aside from something Kyle alluded to earlier. But
listen, everybody went with a one because I went first and I made a strong argument. And I see myself going last this time for a reason.
So, yeah, I guess to give that, because, you know, I don't want to be waffling back and forth between movies, I guess I'll give it a 0.5. But, like, in terms of what we classically think of, like, big buff muscle men in action movies, that would be a 0. But it's, you know, not your traditional in that sense. So I think we can give it 0.5. And I'll go Brian.
I agree with you guys. It doesn't have a lot of the traditional beef that we look for in this category.
The beef. But
I'm going to get a little controversial here because I like this, damn it. And though we get minimal beef, you know, what do we get? Some shots of Keanu's back tattoo at very best. But this guy kills so many people in hand-to-hand combat in this movie.
True, true.
Not even the guns, which is also a lot of fucking people. But, like, we get some prime jiu-jitsu on screen here. And Keanu Reeves is doing 95% of his own stunts in this movie. So, like, I know that when I say this, it's probably going to get brought up in the future, probably by Ryan. But I'm giving Keanu full credit for this movie. I'm going a 2.
Nice.
If not just to balance out what everybody else is doing.
Oh, I'm for sure bringing this up. I'm locking that in right now.
Sean, wow. Bring us home.
All right. I'm going to double down on last time. Brian, you weren't here to hear my argument.
I wasn't.
Though there's not muscles, shirts off, everything that he's doing is incredible muscle memory. As a character, all of the gun movements, like, he is so fluid in everything that he's doing. I think that alone is 1 point. Let me further expand upon this, boys. What do you think of, what is another word to describe a bunch of henchmen or a bunch of goon? The muscle.
Gooners.
All right. Oh. And this has it in spades. And hold on. What do muscles do? They flex. What else can you flex? Your power and your money. The sheer leverage that Santino has is massive. There is so much muscle in this movie. It is out of this world. 1.5.
Oh, I think you just pulled a hamstring stretching that hard.
Sean convinced me I'm also lowering it to a 1.5.
All right, the next category is the butts category. I will kick this one off, as generally I do, for reasons, don't know. The butts category is interpreted in many different ways. I've always interpreted it as nudity as a whole. And that said, we do see a fair bit from Miss Claudia Gerini, although it is hidden by a lot of lighting. I feel you see butt. I definitely saw front. I'm giving it a 1 overall. Nothing excessive, but it's there. Can't say that it's not. That's where I'm at. Michael?
So you do see
that shot, by the way.
Yeah. You do see the shot of the sisters, but it is in the distance. It is darkened, but it is there. But it's the briefest moment. It's like more teased at in that scene in the bathhouse.
It's full focus when it's revealed. When her robe comes down, it is only her butt.
I was Merkin looking for it and couldn't see it. So
no,
I saw Merkin for sure.
You definitely do not see the whole butt except until when it's far away.
Oh, but no, but I saw a front butt. Is what I used. You definitely see Merkin.
Well, anyway, that's the one.
I do not recall
nude butt we see, and then like the only other instance when Ruby Rose is like telling Santino is like, you go, I'll get him. And then like she pulls out the like knife from her back. It's like a close-up shot of her butt in trousers. So like maybe you could count that. I'll give it a 0.5. I gave John Wick 1 a 0, and I feel like there was more actual tangible butt in this one to give it more than that. So I'll go 0.5.
I gave it a 0.5, so I also went up.
Yeah. Sean.
Man, that is crazy because in this, like I have the freaking thing pulled up right now. And yeah, it is not full on screen, but somehow my brain filled it in. John Wick 1 actually had nudity in it. This was, man, coming into this, I was like, man, there was in the club, there was a chick that was topless getting out of the hot tub in John Wick 1.
Yes, there was.
I was so caught off guard that I got full frontal.
That's so crazy. So I think typically with the amount that was in this would usually give it a decent amount of points. But yeah, like one's the highest that I can go with this. And I'm really only going one because I've done 0.5 for much, much less. Nah, it's a 0.5. It's a 0.5. There's not nearly enough. I don't even really feel good about the 0.5, but it gets it. Brian.
I'm willing to go as high as a 0.5 for the implied nudity with Gianna D'Antino. That's all I can do. 0.5. I don't have a high res enough TV or a big enough screen to have seen whatever you guys were seeing when she was floating in that bath. So 0.5, and Ryan can close it out.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great argument. I don't honestly remember what I gave for John Wick 1, though. If we gave it a 0.5, let's say, I feel like that's an equal trade-off for the implied nudity here. Yeah, nothing else to say, 0.5.
Okay, that brings us to the music category, which is also on a score out of 2, am I right? A lot of these are twos. Brian, you haven't kicked off anything.
I kicked off Antagonist, but I will kick this off as well.
Please.
Music's pretty good, guys. It's pretty good. I think they outdid the first film. They include these operatic and orchestral and chanting notes in the scenes in Rome that I think are a really good touch without it becoming distracting and like so different that it takes you out of it. And also there was a shootout at a rave and John Wick dropped a dude on stage and the crowd cheered. So like, yeah, music gets a 2 for me, and I will kick it to Ryan.
I'm looking at the spreadsheet, and last year somebody gave John Wick a 3, so an extra bonus point. I wonder if that's going to be the case again this time. I kind of found the music to be a lot less memorable, but also I think I had more of an issue with some of the choices. Possibly, I think there's a good chance I was one of the 1.5s. I think I'm about there again. I think the trade-off coming to this one, it's negligible. It's at the worst, it's fine. Or it kind of fits the scene sometimes. It's good background music. It's nothing to distract. It's nothing super memorable. But it fits well enough. These movies have never really been about the music, and I don't think that really changes much. So yeah, I think of it 1.5. I'm gonna be about where I was last year. Michael, what are your thoughts on the music in John Wick 2?
I give John Wick 1 a 2, so I'm inclined to keep with this theme of escalation for a series and go with a 2 here, based pretty much on what Brian said, of how we kind of tied in this underlying action theme, but gave it that sort of Italian operatic feel. And then it kind of reminds, you know, in like season 2 of The White Lotus, the opening where it starts off as like this opera theme and then it like evolves into this like club banger. So it kind of has the whole like spectrum of Italian inspired music. We kind of get that here, we get the whole spectrum of like these two areas of action movies. And I think that's a pretty cool meld. That's good. That's enough for me to give it a two. I like how they balanced that. It was because like the music score is not something I typically notice in a film, but this actually kind of stood out to me. So I think that's enough to really bump it to full marks. I like that a lot. Kyle.
Yeah, I'm 100%. I think I gave last year a two. And honestly, I remember watching it this time being conscious of it, that I really liked the music. I thought the soundtrack was really hitting everything it needed to. It added everything perfectly. I like how it returned to that almost doom, just heavy open bass guitar. Like, that motif keeps coming back. Like, and it always kind of starts with that, and then it builds, and it's especially when John's about to do or say something really badass. So, I don't know. It was perfect for me, man. A full two. And that is going to take us on to the quips category.
Whoa.
I'm so sorry. Whoa. I thought I was last.
Whoa. No, so actually, last year I gave it a three, and I'll actually disagree with something Ryan said. You said it's not about the music. I disagree completely. John Wick without the music is not the same movie. Like, the music makes the movie just as much as the action does. Like, this without the action and just music, completely different thing. This movie without the music is a completely different thing. The music in this drives the action and the movie forward so well that, like, you can't not, like, I don't see how I could not give it full 2 points here. So, two for me.
I'm glad you all really enjoy the John Wick soundtracks. It's great.
I'm sorry, what number did you say again?
Two.
He gave it a two as well. And then, sorry, Sean, to cut you off. I will make that up to you. And please, kick us off with quips with a maximum score of one.
That's not making it up to me.
That's putting the pressure on.
It's what I can do.
Oh, man. We can all remember Ruby Rose's line of... Right? Yeah, that was a good one. How about her other line of... That was such a banger. That's all to say, man, there's really clever things that are said through the movie, but I don't think they're quips. I just think they're kind of clever lines or cool lines, even. Like, you have Peter Stormare's, just the reference of the pencil or early on, very first thing in the movie, and he's just like, who the fuck does that? Like, that was just such a memorable line, but I don't think it's anything that's really quippy. But I mean, I feel like recently in movies, we've also given points for things that were just kind of clever lines or really solid or funny dialogue. And I think out of quips being a max of one, I'm still going to zero, and I'll send it to Kyle.
Damn, son. I'm a full one. I mean, there's this one when he shoots the guy in the head, and Winston asks, what have you done? And he just says, finished it. I would give it a one just for every fucking line the sommelier says. When he says, robust, precise, the AR-15. I don't know. All of this shit. We're talking about dessert with the fucking vanilla. In full custom. He's fucking great. I don't know. We get the returning line of John Wick's, I'm back. You wanted me back? I think I'm back. I don't know. All of those quips work for me. Great. They popped me every time. I don't know. I just want to... I fucking wanted to talk about it more in the theme, and I didn't, but I love the fucking... The characters that we get. The sommelier... The tailor, all these things that I always thought were in
the
one,
bums.
But they don't even show up till two. Just this great world building, like, they reference that the suits have Kevlar lined in them. Okay, that's cool. Now we understand it. All this shit, perfect. But that's quips one, Brian.
I'm in between you two. I think I do think there's some good quips in here. I like especially when he says at the end when Ian McShane says when John Wick does his whole "you tell him I'm gonna kill him" and Ian McShane just goes, "Of course you will." I really like that. I don't know if that's really a quip. Not as much as like consider this a professional courtesy. I think that that's a quip and a fucking good one. So I'm mm-hmm. gonna give it a 0.5 and then let's see. Ryan, what do you think?
I think I kind of agree more with Kyle on this one. I think we've also interpreted quips in the past to be just like really clever lines or like good writing. And I think for my issues with the antagonist, and I have story issues, which we'll talk about, but ultimately won't matter because it's a binary scale on story. I think the writing on the whole got a lot better. I love the way even Larry Fishburne says somebody get this man a gun, and just mm-hmm. how he chews every fucking word of it. It's so good. I love the recurring joke about John Wick's dog not having a name and people just kind of being a little bit perplexed by it every time he announces it. I think there's a lot of funny things in this movie. I think it's really got kind of the banter and like that back and forth down. If the first one was kind of struggling to find it, this one's running with it all the way. It is absolutely stretching what quips means, but we stretch muscles and butts and stuff. So whatever, let's just stretch quips too. I think this is one. I really love the writing.
Muscles here. And butts can be stretched. It's just yoga.
Dude, that's true. You're blowing my mind, man. with that, I'd like to hear... I think that leaves Michael then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, close yep. us out.
Okay, I always struggle with this category because I feel like it's a very important category to only have a one on. I looked back, I gave John Wick 1 a 0. And I feel like this movie kind of suffers from the same problems I had from the first in terms of quipitude. In that sometimes someone will ask John a question and he'll just kind of stare at him for half a second and then say what he says in like a very menacing, yeah. dark, monotone way.
I'm thinking.
Like, oh, okay. I thought that was going to be cooler than that, but whatever. That being said, if we're going to stretch it out to say that there's a lot more humorous, friendly banter, I can't go a one. I'll go half a point then for this. But it's kind of dragged down by that same issue I had with the first one.
I think the thing that's holding me back from giving it a one is the font choice on the subtitles makes it feel like a 90s movie. So,
like Torque.
Yeah, uh-huh. all those cool players yeah. like...
Or like Driven. You.
No, you won't.
Sure.
Sure. No, sure you will.
Sure. Sure
not you if will. I see you first, and first is like big, oh, bold, man. And red.
First.
Like, all right.
Why is first blue? Did he sign that?
It
in
was
blue?
Very Fast and Furious or Driven. It was very like 2000s.
So much like Driven.
Anyways,
Driven
final category, not including our bonus category, which we will get to after this, is the story. And as Ryan said, it is a binary category. No half points, no half measures, fellas. Either all or nothing. Story can get a 0 or a 1. I will kick it off. Of course, easy, super. It's a 1. There's a story here. More of a story than John Wick 1, to be honest with you. And I'm saying that and kicking it to Michael.
I completely agree. This is an easy 1. It is a very tangible story. It is a great story. It is a great continuation of the overarching story. Especially because, like, at the very beginning... when he gets his car back, it didn't occur to me until I'm watching that scene. It's like, oh yeah, he never actually recovered his car in the first movie. This is a great, like, build into this. This is perfect. And just from there, it was, you know, a new sort of twist on the world. And we got to see a plot resolved and a new plot start. It's perfect. 1 out of 1. Ryan.
I'm a little less enthused that it's a perfect story, but it has a story. It continues it in a way that's well enough. I think it's a little clunky. I everybody talks about the action. They felt it move real quickly. I kind of thought after the initial Peter Stormare confrontation that we get a big stop where we have to catch up the audience on what has happened, mm-hmm. What's all going down, and then the setup for everything else. So there's a huge exposition dump for 20 minutes or so, which isn't anything, but it feels like it when the rest of the movie is just such a fucking pace. I also I think there's a lot of issues with the story in terms of events happening very coincidentally to make something else happen for a big cliffhanger or whatever. John Wick and what he does ultimately here at the end of this movie, I felt didn't seem in character for the world's best and smartest hitman. It felt very emotional and in a way where I was I don't think close enough to the first one yet. I don't know. I feel like if something would have had to happen to really trigger him emotionally to get that kind of response, and they didn't really earn it here. It just was needed to happen to set up a really cool payoff and then a very cool twist for the third one. Additionally, I could point out every fucking move Santino does is stupid. It's just fucking comically stupid. And it is just set to piss off John Wick even more, which is again, if you're a smart dude in the John Wick universe who knows about John Wick, why are you trying to piss him off? It's so dumb.
Trying to kill the assassin that you hired to kill your sister so you could take her spot is the smart move. The dumb move mm-hmm. is the assassin you hired was John fucking Wick.
Yep.
Should have done the fucking ballerina girl playing the violin. Could have knocked that one out. But no, that's where it's stupid. I agree with you.
Yeah. And again, it's not like, oh man, I made a mistake and this is John Wick I'm fucking around with. What did I do? You know him. He is the Baba Yaga. He has a fucking legend following him. So it's all silly. That said, I think it works. It gets the job done. It's all good enough. And I love the world building. So I'm going to give it a 1, even though I think the story itself, messy. Who does that leave?
Brian and Sean.
Sean, sir.
Man. I think that Santino makes mostly smart decisions in this movie. I don't see any fault in any of that. I mean, he's doing all of the things that make complete sense, trying to kill him after the fact, setting up to, why wouldn't I put a bounty out on you? You killed my sister. That makes complete sense. And realistically, in no world should John Wick be surviving this $7 million bounty on his life. There's no way that he can sit there and take on these thousands and thousands of assassins in wave after wave. But he's Superman. I love that this movie is a direct continuation of the first movie. So it ties up that something that we didn't even realize that really could be tied up in that until it happens with the car. Leads off, does its own thing, and then directly starts the third movie. Spoilers, I guess, maybe, I don't know. So it's literally 1.5 stories done so damn well that I'm struggling to not give this a bonus point, but I'm not going to, and I'll go with a 1. Brian or Michael?
I see. It's me. I see where everybody's coming from on this one. I agree with Ryan that there are parts of this that are a little sloppy. I do think from a rich assassin's point of view that Santino did make wise decisions. I agree that at some points the pacing stalled. I would argue that just as much after we finish that first scene and get the opening credits and catch everybody up, it stalls. It stalls again once he's safe with the homeless people and that underground assassin's world. He, as soon as we start getting the Lawrence Fishburne stuff to set the scene for future installments, perhaps, that we're sacrificing pacing for world building. And it's a common thing when you start
40 minutes left.
Yeah. It's a common thing when you start developing a wider universe and you know you're going to be making another one of these. So I can't fault it too much for that. I mean, all that said, it's got a story. It's a one.
It's got a story. It's got a one. That is almost our final score. We do have our bonus weapon category, but before we get to that, I just really want to quickly, we've watched two, gentlemen. What is your personal ranking of the John Wick series so far? Ranking one and two, I will tell you, for me personally, it goes two and then one after these most recent rewatches. I think it used to go the other way. Now I like two more than one. So that's me. Michael, where are you at as our fresh face?
I kind of thought about this after I finished the second one, about how I thought it compared. I think looking back, I still think I would maybe put the first one on top because it had such a fresh feel to it that I didn't think really caught me off guard in a way in two, even though two was still really, really good. But like I mentioned, sort of the staleness of the action kind of brought it down. It's still great, but I think for now, one's going to be on top. And I'm interested to see where it goes.
Cool. I do like... I had a point there, but I forget it. So, Sean?
Man, I remember a couple of years ago when I had first watched these, and you were hyped for me to watch them, and we talked about this. And that's, I remember back then, I was like, yeah, I like number one, then number two, number three. And I think at that time it was like the reverse for you. And I got to say, it has not changed. Still like one more than two. Brian.
They're real close. I think if two was 10, 15 minutes shorter, it would probably be above one. But I think it's still one for me and then two.
Ryan?
And that leaves Ryan.
I'm right there with everybody but Kyle. I'm John Wick 1. I think this story is complete. It is a nice, wrapped, simple story. I kind of love the villains in the first one. I love that Russian dude. I can't think of his name. Sorry, Russian dude. But I don't really love the story in John Wick 2. I think it's clunky. It's my least favorite of the John Wicks. I'm curious to see if that changes going forward. But yeah, I would go back to John Wick 1.
Cool. My thought was, because it made me think of Michael, is that you can really only watch John Wick like for the first time that one time. And like, it does change. You're like, whoa, what the fuck is this? And then I see what you're saying because, like, okay, I've seen this now. It's not as mind-blowing, even though it was just such a thing up
from what you think of, like, from your basic blockbuster action film. It was just sort of a paradigm shift at the time, and it's just, it was fresh, it was good, it was great.
So with that, gentlemen, we have a final category. We can give a blanket bonus point if there is one or multiple bonus weapons that we can make an argument for and everybody else agrees that it deserves a point. I mean, I'll just get the ground running, the churning pencil. We actually see the pencil. We get two kills with a pencil. For me, that, I think that more than counts as a cool or unique weapon. So that's my argument. Any others in the peanut gallery?
I mean, see your pencil and I raise you, staircase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way we're throwing dudes down a staircase is pretty excellent.
There was a point where, so early on, what made me think, like, what I was like, wow, this is kind of ridiculous, is when him and Common just tumble down 40 stairs. And yeah. I'm like, man,
marble
and
steps.
They're stone stairs. Like, motherfuckers, broken arms, if not a neck, like, you can't control that shit. You are getting hurt. And then later on in the movie, at the fucking museum, he shoots somebody and then does a tumble down the stairs as a move. And I'm like, what are you doing? But, hear me out here. I know it's always a good sign when I say, hear me out. But pretty much any gun that he has, man, I just love seeing him huck a gun at somebody's face and just just throw it. Runs out of bullets and just it hucks works. It at a dude and just plops him in the face. That's so dope. I love it. I pop every time. I don't think it's cooler than a pencil, but I just wanted to put that up.
It adds to it.
Yeah. I think the pencil's a clear winner here.
When he was getting all those guns from the sommelier, I was like, all right, how many times can he like open up and cock the gun and like see all the different compartments?
Turn it sideways and yeah.
I bet you no matter what the number was, it wasn't as many as it happened in the movie. Because every gun,
got to cock at least 20 times. I agree. The pencil is, I think, good enough for a cool weapon. I like had a vocal reaction to the pencil kills, which that doesn't happen to me in movies very often. But I went, oh, and like kind of sat back a little bit. It was jarring. And Ryan, I kind of agree. It does kind of take the mystique that it kind of came too early to a point, but it still was cool to see. It was like, oh, finally. Cause like, and you saw it on the counters, like, oh my God, is this it? And I got pretty hyped for it.
I completely agree. Yeah. It came too early. I would have waited gladly till chapter 3 or 4 to see the pencil. That's see, it. And it's great. I wish I could have waited.
I think it's honestly, in my opinion, cooler to get it done now, because then every movie people are, oh, is this the one they're going to do the pencil in? And I think it would, to me, you'd be looking.
It would probably build it up too much.
You're building it up.
Nah,
too
much. Exactly.
Yeah, and then it wouldn't be. You'd never be able to pay it off. But it's just, that's my counter argument.
Set up a whole fight in a pencil factory, just teasing it, and nobody ever dies.
Listen,
that would be.
Yeah, good. I don't remember. Anytime you see in a three, pencil, it's a threat.
But I already know my nomination for dope weapon in 4. And if it had to contend with a fucking pencil, then I would be really fucking upset. So I'm glad it happened here.
All right. So that is the final score, which we will kick it to Brian, our mathematician magician, to do calculation correlations.
So out of a total possible... A total possible 23 points. John Wick Chapter 2 has achieved a 19.
Ooh, okay.
Which equals 82.6.
Hmm.
Which is a solid okay. B.
The 19 is higher.
On Rotten Tomatoes, this thing had an 89 critical and an 85 audience. This is a well-received movie. It actually has higher marks on all the critical platforms than the original. Mm-hmm. IMDb, it's a 7.4 out of 10, which is actually, it's lower there, and on Letterboxd by like 0.1, because Letterboxd
is 3.7,
I think John Wick was 3.8. Oh yeah, 7.4 on IMDb is like you're doing something amazing over here.
Yeah.
And then 75% on Metacritic, but Metacritic always skews lower, so I think we're right there, guys. I think we crushed it.
Honestly, if you guys just opened up your brains a little bit to the muscle... Like the muscle arguments,
we the muscle arguments would yeah.
Right.
There. I mean, I think on a whole, we are very positive on John Wick so far of the two that we've done, which is fair. I think they are fantastic action movies so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this landed itself square in the top three of these last 8 action movie Wensembers. Whenever Sembers.
Wensembers, good.
Wensembers. You know, 1 point lower than John Wick 1 and tied with Running Man. So I think it's in some pretty good company. And yeah.
It's been I'm glad that we went with John Wick as the next franchise, because I feel it's just another perfect way to cop off these months, because they just are such a high water mark. Like, I mean, we went Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, John Wick. I am worried, where the fuck do we go? We've got 3 more of these left, so if we do Ballerina.
Predator.
We'll see. Ooh. We could do Predator. There are a fuckload of them, but they all suck after.
What we can do is every 6 months,
broad, but
we review one episode of Continental. That's got us covered for like another 6 years.
That's a lot.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I haven't watched.
I don't even think I finished the first episode of Continental, to be honest.
Huh. Fair enough.
I haven't seen a single one.
Can't wait to dive into it, fellas.
It is interesting to see how like action movies have pivoted, but the scale is still hitting right.
Mm-hmm. The scale does hit right.
Culturally, like from the 80s to the 90s to these late teens.
It's very well thought out and reasoned collection.
Where it may lack in some areas, it definitely picks up in others, and it really balances itself out. Yeah. But yeah, I couldn't think of a better way to end this podcast year than doing something like this with you guys. So I just want to, you know, Michael, thank you for coming on. Thank you for fucking watching these movies for the first time. Like, what a joy it is to just watch this, be able to watch this, because I fucking love these. It's nice to not have to rent a movie for the show because I already own all these. So yeah. It is an absolute pleasure to sit down and watch this and be able to share with you and your first time watching. But yeah, thank you for being on. And folks, listeners, if you really enjoyed what you listened to here, you enjoyed hearing from Michael, go ahead and head on over to patreon.com/experiencegrind, where for as little as $98,000, Ryan is willing to cut off a portion of his penis and send it to you. I think I'm going to bury that one because he's got no more junk there. So also, we have been talking about for the last couple of weeks, like highs and lows in gaming and media for the last year. So head on over. If you have any thoughts, like, leave a comment on the Patreon, or better yet, head on over to our Discord. You can find that link in our linktree.com/experiencegrind. So join there, come and argue about which Christmas movie is or isn't a Christmas movie in the bracketology thing and wherever it goes from mm-hmm. there. But yeah, that's about all I got to say for plugs.
I love bracketology. I love that. I love you guys. I love our little community. I want it to grow a little more. Please encourage your friends. If you're in our Discord, come hang out with us. We are a pretty cool crew in there. I do actually enjoy all of the variety of things people can and do discuss there. And that said, I love you guys as well. All four of you fellas here, it's been a goddamn pleasure doing this silly little show. I love talking about this dumb stuff with you guys. It's one of my favorite things. It's a goddamn joy. You guys are a treat. I love you all. Listeners included, I'm not going to be a dick. The true heart comes out. You guys are great. But with that said, Michael, would you please advise our listeners in a John Wick style what they can go do to themselves?
Count on hearing from me later.